Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Study of X, the bi-weekly X-Men podcast, where we go through the Krakoa era of X-Men comics. I am your host, Tim, and with me, as always, is Chris.
Hello. I hope you're excited to talk about aliens, plant creatures, zombies, and old ladies with guns, because we're going to be talking about all of those things and more.
Yeah, and Sergio.
Hi, hello. I have conflicted feelings on all of those subjects, especially when combined. We'll get to that.
When they're combined, they become an interesting mess. Fun one, I think, but an interesting one.
Yeah, so, three issues that we are not reading the final part of yet are Empire X-Men, which is a main... It's a mini that's a tie-in to the Empire event that we covered a couple of episodes ago. And yeah, we got a interesting conflict here where we just continuously throw more and more parties at it until it's just
chaos.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of fun. They do a very interesting thing here as we're going to go along, where they have all of the current X-Men writers all join in on these books. So you're going to have some fun combos. Like, this first one is going to be Jonathan Hickman and Teenie Howard together.
Yeah, and I think the teams change every book, so it can maybe have a little bit of a disjointed feel, but yeah, it's a different... Yeah, it's all hands on deck on this one.
This set of issues gave me the feeling of watching a crossover episode, better and worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would fully agree with that. You know, it's fun. You know, you're going to have a good time. Does it really push a lot of things forward? Not so much.
It is extremely empty calories to me.
Yes, yeah. I think that's a good way to put it.
This is absolute just... Empty calories is a good way to put it. I think we do get a little bit of interesting stuff in the first issue, but outside of that, it's we battling.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I hope you like fighting.
Yeah.
Yes. If you thought the battle raging was over, bad news. It's gonna keep going.
So
let's just jump into number one here. This one does not have a title, unfortunately. But this was released in July of 2020 and is written by Jonathan Hickman and Teenie Howard. And we're going to open up here in the past, actually, at the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yeah, so like all, exactly how everybody predicted the crossover event or tie-in with Empire would start is with Wanda being upset about the genocide she committed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when you think plant invasion of Earth, I hope you also thought of the Scarlet Witch and what she did back on M-Day.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got Doctor Strange here and Wanda here. Let's go through it, I guess.
Yeah, so we've talked about it a bit before because it did show up in House of X and Powers of X at the Look at What They've Done infographic about all of the mutants that have been murdered throughout the years. The Scarlet Witch did one of the worst events. She did not kill a bunch of mutants, but she depowered millions of them until there were only a few hundred powered mutants left. So they blame her for a lot of problems that came from that, because you had people who were either proud of being a mutant, now no longer a mutant, or those that were in danger and using their powers to protect themselves, now not having any powers to stop anyone from hurting them.
Yeah, Wanda did a bad.
Yes, a very, very bad thing. to be fair for her, for that whole event, which is called M-Day, or what's the actual event called? Do you know that, Tim?
House of M, I believe.
Yes, House of M, thank you. She was not in the best state of mind at that point. There were a lot of things going on with her. I believe she had just lost her children at that point. So emotionally, she was not really there, and that led to her having a breakdown.
Yeah. So, yeah, what we get here is her apparently trying to figure out a way to undo that.
Yes, which so, Doctor Strange, you know, happily says, yeah, no, sorry, you can't put that back in the box.
Yeah, like, you did it, don't do anything with that again. And advises her to, instead of unringing a bell, try to ring a bigger one.
Perhaps maybe one of the worst advice you could give her.
Yeah.
Because we're going to see she takes that to heart, and she goes and travels to Genosha about 9 months prior, which we've talked about Genosha a bit. That was a mutant island nation prior to Krakoa, where 16 million mutants died because of Cassandra Cain and her sentinels who massacred them. So Wanda's not too happy about that because, yeah, no, it was a whole society that is now gone. So she seems to take Doctor Strange's advice and what she saw, travel through a bunch of horrific worlds and different places to get items to create a staff.
Yeah, it looks like a spider's here. We got some crazy tree. And yeah, we make some crazy staff thing.
Mm-hmm. And now, about a month prior, she goes back to Genosha and kind of talks to herself. And she is seeking a redemption. She wants to right the wrong that she did. And that's what she's going to try and do here by resurrecting the mutants of Genosha. She casts her spell, kind of passes out, and then when she awakens, it looks like somebody is talking to her, and whoever it is horrifies her. But we're not going to see who that is just yet, because we are going to cut to the present.
Now, you might think, what does this have to do with Empire?
Yes.
And you would be correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Asking that. Yes, and then you might also think, we're probably going to deal with the drama and hubris that is evident from this scene.
Yeah.
And you would not be correct.
Yeah, that's not quite the direction we're going here.
No. Maybe in the fourth issue that we have not read yet, we'll go there. But for now, that's the last we're going to see of Wanda for a while.
God, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Did she die here? Like, she's not dead in, like, this part. Where did she go? Like,
that's true. Then this was a month ago.
Yes. Then we get a map that basically says, here's where the actual plot is happening, and this is where this takes place.
Yeah, yeah. We got all that going on over here. Look, there's a reason we didn't get any of this in the main event book. So, yeah, we got Wakanda. Apparently off the coast of Wakanda, or just off the coast of Africa in general, is where Genosha is. And the Kotati have decided that seems like a good staging area for their assault.
Mm-hmm. Just this empty, decimated island. I mean, that is generally a very good idea.
Yeah.
So they land, and we get some really, really cool plant people over here. And they discuss what we've already seen in Empire, which is they're going to go to Wakanda for the vibranium. That's what they want. But in the meantime, as they are preparing, they did have the fortune of capturing a local. And we see this local who is very clearly a zombie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There's a surprising amount of banter between these plant people that was not present in the other Empire stuff.
No, yeah, yeah. These, and again, they aren't exactly long for the world here. So I kind of...
Nope.
I don't have too much of a problem with it. But yeah, they kind of have some back and forth going on between these guys.
Yeah, they're like taking on the goofy villains persona rather than the like stoic deep enemies that we saw in Empire in the proper books.
Yeah, it's like you got like this kind of shorter plant person who's just like he playing kind of the straight man to the larger one who's kind of bumbling a little bit.
Yeah, it gives them a lot of heart, which was kind of lacking in the main event.
You leafy disaster of a soldier is what he calls him.
It's great.
Yeah, but again, they aren't exactly here long.
No.
Because, if you thought we were dealing with the Kotati, we kind of are, but not really.
Yeah, because also zombies. and specifically mutant zombies. As the local they captured, once they give him back his jaw that fell off, he explains that he is a mutant known as Explodey Boy. And if they wanted to see his powers, which he gladly shows them how they work as he explodes a bunch of the plant people around him.
Real quick, we do get introduced to someone else who is asked to kind of talk to them and figure out what's going on. It's like, his name is Science Minister Koi, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I would pronounce his name.
And this seems to be the most important of the Kotati here. The Kotati don't seem to understand the concept of zombies.
Which I think is fair, considering they are plants. Although we are going to see later that, yes, plants can become zombies. In case you were, you know, worried about that.
Yeah. But, we blew up.
Yep. you know, like Sergio said, if you were wondering how this gets into the drama of Empire, don't worry. Because we're going the completely opposite direction.
Yeah, so they start hearing some rumbling, and Explodey Boy says, hey, there were 16 million mutants here who died here. Here they all are. And we're in a war between the zombies and the mutants. Or the zombies and the plants, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, although I do have to shout out the line as all the zombies show up where Explodey Boy is like, hey, yeah, there was 16 million of us, but 2 million of us were vegetarians, so you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. And yeah, and we get a data page, which is alien plants versus mutant zombies. Yeah, this is a plants versus zombies joke.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And
is.
I do like how it escalates throughout the issue, because we're going to see this one again.
Yeah. We're off to some corporate talk.
Yep, and a bit of a hint at what is coming up for Teenie Howard. She is going to be writing X-Corp that will be starting soon. But we meet here with Penance and Angel as they are doing a lot of corporate talk to talk to another corporation about a lot of business stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dialogue.
That sums it up, really.
Mm-hmm.
Penance is eating the most CEO-looking lunch.
Yeah, it's a very leafy salad with tomatoes and all of that. Not the best. But hey, you want to know what's fun? Magic is here. Why is she here? Because Xavier wanted her to keep an eye on them to make sure if they were redundant or not. The two of these take this very personally and are quite upset about that, and decide to go talk to Xavier in his face.
And this is like mid-meeting. Like, they were about to walk into a meeting before Magic dropped this, and they just kind of decide to leave. I guess we're done. So they say they'll postpone and they walk out the door.
Yep, that is, it really is just kind of a hint at like, hey, X-Corp is coming up, you know. So, they leave that pharmaceutical head hanging as they head back to Krakoa, where Black Tom is once again telling Xavier that something is wrong, but this time is with the Genosha Krakoan Gate and that it really needs to be fixed. But not having learned from last time this happened, Xavier still brushes him off and decides to talk about Angel and Penance instead.
Yeah, so Angel's here to talk, and Angel is very upset that Xavier didn't tell him about that they were monitoring X-Corp for redundancy. And Angel throws out, like, hey, like, I have always had this money, and now I can use it for the benefit of mutants, and, like, I want to do that, like, I want to help in this way. And Xavier kind of throws back, it wasn't that I was monitoring for redundancies in that way, just, like, I think you are a good mutant, and if we don't need X-Corp, because I am also very rich, we could use you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I buy this.
for what, from Xavier's end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also don't. I think there, okay, to give Xavier the benefit of the doubt, I do think there is a part of him that does believe this. That, you know, does believe that, like, hey, if Angel could be doing something else, he should be doing that. But I do think the more pressing thing is do we really need X-Corp?
Yeah, like, I think Xavier knew exactly what to say to him to make him drop it.
Yeah.
But...
yeah.
Yeah, I don't buy this excuse here that he was just like, yeah, we could use you elsewhere, you know?
You're just so good. We could just move you somewhere else. So, but hey, situation is now disarmed, and Angel is kind of wondering what's up with Black Tom. And he kind of volunteers himself, penance, and magic to go and figure out what is wrong with Genosha.
Yeah, Angel says the three of them are going to be squad leaders, and we're gonna take some mutants. And Magneto says, "You get one."
Yeah, you just get one guy.
Yeah.
But thankfully, they pick the perfect one guy, as they get multiple man.
I just to kind of pull it back a little bit, but Magneto kind of throws it in his place of like, I know that Charles made himself clear with regards to our needs, And it's very, like, bad cop compared to Xavier's good cop, which I think is kind of, like, to the point that I think Xavier's redundancy point is kind of bullshit. Like, this feels much more lay down the law and just coming from a place that Xavier just kind of won't go.
Yes, but is probably thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, now that you pointed that out, yeah, I would definitely agree. Because I thought... Magneto's seriousness here was a little odd in comparison to everything else going on in the scene, but if it's there to contrast what Xavier was saying, then yeah, it makes sense that he kind of becomes the bitter, hard edge of, like, no, this is what you are doing.
Yeah, because he just has this very pleasant conversation with Xavier and probably like, okay, you know, it's all in my head, and then shows up to Magneto and he's like, no, you get one guy. Don't
push it, son.
Yeah. But yeah, so they pick multiple men.
Which, you know, great pick for only having one guy. Since this is our first run-in with Jamie Madro, let me introduce him. He is from Giant Size Fantastic Four number 4 from 1974.
Hold on, is this our first time getting Angel?
No,
I don't think so.
He showed up in House of X. Wasn't he on one of the teams?
I know Penance was on one of the teams. I don't know if Angel... Yeah, I think you're right. I think he might have been on one of the teams that exploded.
Yeah, he's been very much a background character, you know, this entire time.
Yeah. It's definitely our first big appearance of multiple man, but I wasn't sure if it was our first, like, appearance of Angel yet.
Yeah, I do think this is the most forward-facing Angel has had so far.
Yeah.
But I might be wrong.
I would say of the original X-Men, he definitely feels the least important here.
Yes, which is the oddest, because so far everybody else from the original team has had something.
Yeah. You got Iceman on the Marauders, Beast is, you know, being CIA, and then Cyclops and Jean are doing their whole thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not really much of Angel. But okay, multiple man.
Yes, multiple man. As his name suggests, his ability is to create multiple copies of himself. But what he can do is he can then reabsorb these copies to learn what they have learned. Like I said, he was introduced in 1974, so he has been around for an extremely long time and has been in comics for a while. He's got history with the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, the Avengers. He's all over the place.
Yeah, I want to say he was, I honestly haven't read too much of stuff that Multiple Man is in. I want to say he was in a very well-regarded run of X-Factor.
Yes, I want to say you're correct. I remember when I was looking him up, there was a cover with him on it for X-Factor. So he was in that for a while, doing a lot of investigative work.
Yeah.
It's been a really long time since we had Marvel Snap Corner. But I do remember Multiple Man from when I played that.
I also remember him because he was a good card because he would just copy himself.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a very popular card. Everyone used it.
Yeah, it was an easy way to get more points to take over each section. I remember that.
Uh-huh. Yep. So shout out to the forgotten Marvel Snap Corner.
But yeah, so they chose multiple man, and now they have considerably more guys.
Mm-hmm. Which they are going to need, because as they get to Genosha, they see the horde of Kotati fighting zombies, as both of these groups are now heading towards them.
Yeah, well, the Kotati are heading toward them. They seem confused, because they're like, we're on a cliff, what are they running toward us for? And it turns out they're being chased by zombies.
There's a bunch of talking about having to do maintenance on the gates.
Yeah.
Which I would expect other people to do. Don't they have a bunch of, like, minor mutants that could tend to the gates?
Yeah, again, it almost feels like a... The way this comes about, it almost feels like a, yeah, go do this, Angel. Like, it's... And just the seriousness that Magneto takes this, it really feels like a go do this and keep yourself busy for a little bit type deal.
Yeah, yeah. We need you out of our hair, you know?
Yeah, like just like go do that for a little bit. Yeah, you're helping, man. Because, yeah, I agree. Like this feels like something you would have, like, this feels like a job someone would have of, like, tending to the gate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the only reason so far that they have had any reason to look at the gate is because Black Tom is like, hey, something's wrong.
Right.
Like, that's it. They don't actually know that the Kotati are here, or that there have been mutant zombies on the island for about a month, if we're going by this timeline correctly. So I guess no one is just visiting Genosha either.
Well, the... Angel has a line here about it's a garden, you have to tend to it. And I wonder if that's something they actually do, or if that's just Angel not knowing what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. Magic is talking like she's getting sent out on gate repair missions every other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
She's kind of weighing the convenience of instant teleportation against having to move around fixing them. Like, are you actually the one fixing them? Are you the one who should be complaining about getting sent out on repair duty?
I'm actually kind of wondering if it's maybe if the gate breaks in a way where you can't go through it, if magic's, like, ability to teleport helps there.
Maybe. I have a feeling yes. Or maybe she's also thinking, like, hey, my teleportation works just fine. What do you mean we have to keep this one going? We have to keep it up.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming magic
broken sometimes, but that's the point.
I also assume magic does not want to be the portal person forever.
No, she does not strike me as that kind of person who would like that.
Yeah, but yeah, so we are fighting zombies now. They get rid of a bunch of them. They kill a bunch of them, like, off screen, and say, "Hey, that felt like a first wave." Because we are just playing Call of Duty zombies here.
Mm-hmm. You just need to know there's a lot of them. Penance and magic are going wild.
I don't know if at this point they realize they're killing zombie mutants.
I am guessing no.
Yeah, I'm also guessing no.
But you would think that when, I don't know.
Yeah, because on page, I don't know what page this is. They do say Genosian zombies, meaning they are mutants. And the levity with which this is treated kind of strikes me as odd. You would think millions of people being revived as zombies would have some gravity to it, but it feels extremely, like, flimsy in terms of drama or any kind of narrative weight. They're just cannon fodder.
Yeah, for the most part, they do not seem to be taken that seriously. Also, not a lot of powers from the mutants. We get to see a bit of Explodey Boy, but, like, other than that, like, if they, there's not much here to point to them being mutant zombies versus just zombies.
Yeah, they're just zombies.
Yeah,
there's a guy with a blue tongue, and I don't know if that's supposed to be A mutant thing or a zombie rotten meat thing.
It could be either or.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but no, I would agree with you, Sergio. There's... I think it's just the goal of the comic to be, you know, don't think about it too hard, just have fun. But with everything else that we have had with this world of Krakoa, you would assume that Genosha, where millions died and people are making it a big deal to, you know, remember the fallen and everything that has happened to them as a people, that all of them suddenly coming back would be a big deal, or at least questioned more. It's just sort of accepted in the moment that, like, oh, okay, they're zombies, let's just deal with them.
Yeah, it's almost a thing where you could probably avoid this by just having this not be set in Genosha. But yes. here we are.
Yeah, like, remember how this was framed against the Scarlet Witch kind of hobbies her search for redemption and her doing like this Full Metal Alchemist metal like human transmutation stuff to wake up millions of zombies, and that's kind of forgotten now and turned into this fun romp.
Yeah.
Against the zombies.
Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, there is fun to be had here, but it is very odd because it's definitely something that you would think would have more weight than it ends up having.
Yeah.
Like it almost feels wasted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just in the grand scheme of things, it's very odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the battle rages.
Yeah. We're trying to fix the gate.
Yep. Multiple man again comes in handy as he just multiplies himself to clean the gate that has been covered with weeds.
Yeah. They get a little bit of drama here as the zombies are charging toward the gate and they realize that, oh, they have the X gene, so they can just go through that.
It literally turns into a tower defense.
Yeah.
Yes, game. Yes.
But yeah, as they're worried about hitting the gate, they get just, like, melted by some weird goo acid thing, and Horde Culture's here.
Yeah. Our good, nice golden girlfriends. Yeah. Really, I'm going to be honest, if they weren't here, I think I would put these issues lower than I have them currently. Because I love these ladies so much, and I'm so happy they're back.
Yeah, the Kotani and the... Sorry.
Reached into the bag, into the depths of established lore. And he pulled out these three ladies.
Yeah.
Four ladies.
Yep. Like, who can I add to this mix just to make it a tad crazier? I know.
It makes sense. Look, I kind of got spoiled on them being on these issues early on because you mentioned, Chris, that they were going to show up.
A little bit, yes.
And I did not expect at all that this would be the context that they would appear in. Because
yeah.
It makes perfect sense to me that Horde Culture would be here in the, you know, in the conflict that's mostly against plant people.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, when you're adding zombies into the mix, I'm kind of just throwing my hands in the air.
Yeah, that's really all you can do. Really, this could have still been an entire thing if they took out the zombies and just left Horticulture, the Kotati, and mutants to duke it out.
Yeah, but yeah, now we have a four-way fight.
Huh?
Yep, and an update on our data page. It is now alien plants versus mutant zombies versus old ladies.
Yeah, and that ends that first issue.
Yep. Uh-huh. A chaotic mess is the best way I could put it. I still think it's fun, but I do agree with all of the, you know, the criticisms of the juxtaposition from Wanda having a very, you know, heartfelt attempt at righting her wrongs at the beginning. To just almost slapstick comedy, you know? And it's going to keep going that way.
Yeah. But yeah, so let's go into issue two.
Yep. So for issue two, this one does have a title. It is called Growing Strong. It was released in August of 2020. And we have a different group of writers. This time it is Gary Duggan, Benjamin Percy, and Leo Williams, who we know from Marauders, X-Force, and
Excalibur.
Teeny Howard. What am I doing? Wow.
X-Factor is where Leo Williams is.
X-Factor.
Yeah.
Yes, you are correct. And I do have to point out with all of these issues, you can't fully tell when it switches between the writers. I can take pretty good guesses as to who did what, but if you asked me to sit down and be like, no, this was for sure written by so-and-so, I don't think I'd be able to do that.
I will say there's a couple pages here where I'm like, oh, there's Percy.
Oh, yes. There are a couple where I'm pretty sure it's Percy. But, for having so many cooks in the kitchen, this is surprisingly pretty smooth.
Yeah. I agree.
I wouldn't say the moment-to-moment writing is my main issue with this.
Yeah, it doesn't... I would not say it feels jarring.
No, it's fine. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to open back up here right where we left off with Angel trying to dissuade these very nice ladies into going back where they came from because there's a lot of chaos going on.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we mentioned this, but yeah, Horde Culture shows up and immediately just starts like talking about how hot Angel is. Like one of the first things they do.
Yes. One of them wants to put him on her Christmas tree.
Yeah, I would set him on my Christmas tree is one of the lines. But yeah, they keep going with that. One of them calls them Sven with Wings, which I think was the name of the like water aerobics instructor from
So. They have a whole thing going on, but it's nicely contrasted with them going up to the nearest Kotati, lasering him, and then cutting him to pieces.
This seems less efficient than that first salvo they did, where they melted, like, hundreds of them at the same time. They should probably use that more.
Yeah. That seems way better. Maybe this, like, lets them get better samples. They might have melted those other people. They mentioned they wanted to find one of the officers or the generals, and I had to go back to the first issue to make sure this guy wasn't one of them, because he very well could have been, and I would not have known any better.
Yes, I agree with you. There are a couple of times where I lost, I lost all of the Kotati in the mix.
Angel's trying to get them out of the situation and get sprayed in the face, and now he's in love with Horde Culture.
Yes, and more specifically, he views them all as gorgeous young women now.
Yeah.
So he got the fun pheromone pepper spray on, and now he is also now in love with them and is going to help them in any way he can. Thankfully, they don't have a spray yet for the ladies, so penance and magic are fine. Multiple Man is downwind and also does get a whiff of it, so he's gonna be out of the picture too.
Yeah. Not out of the pictures, I don't think is exactly accurate, just not hostile toward Horde Culture for a little bit.
More like reluctant allies.
Yeah. So, yeah, Magic and Penance don't like this too much. Magic slashes the one in the chair in half. When I say chair, it's like some like hovercraft looking thing. Like think like a steampunk version of like a floating Xavier chair.
It's the Mad Max version of a floating Xavier chair.
Yeah, Mad Max version is a good way to say it. Like this thing looks like it could run someone down.
Mm-hmm. So, a good thing that she cut it in half. But it's okay, because Multiple Man is here to carry her instead.
Yeah. Magic says release them and... or I will kill you, pretty much. This doesn't work out too well.
Nope. And they are going to be interrupted by the hordes of zombies coming in.
Yeah. And, the battle rages as Angel sings Neil Diamond, I believe?
Yes. To one of the ladies as he carries her above the battlefield so they can get a look at what's going on.
Yeah, so yeah, if you can't tell from this description, this is absolute chaos at this point.
Yep, any sort of seriousness you might have expected, that's not going to happen. You know, we are here for plants versus zombies versus mutants and old ladies.
Yeah. They do find one of the Kotati leaders. I think this is the main general man, who is talking to his friends, saying we've encountered pretty heavy resistance. Magic tries to get him to get out of here. He doesn't seem interested, but also gets a sample taken out of him.
Yes, and by a sample, his arm just gets cut off. So one of the ladies can get a nice chunk of his arm. You know, in context of all of that, it's really horrifying.
Yeah.
These ladies are just butchers and do not care for anybody else besides what they're doing. If these plants were also, you know, human beings, and instead of green blood, it was red blood, they would be, you know, far more horrifying. But still, with the plant people context, they are like nightmare creatures to the Kotati.
Yeah. At this point, the now unarmed Kotati just calls this whole thing a wash and says we need to detonate the ship.
Yep. And while that happens, Penance and Horticulture decide to make a truce for the meantime because, you know, they have a million other problems around them.
Yeah. And speaking of other problems, magic summons demons.
You know, yeah. Magic is pretty cool.
Yeah, magic she is pretty cool.
She's very cool.
I think she's about as frustrated about how things are going as I am by this point.
Yeah, yes. things are going sideways. You can't really make heads or tails of it. It's a mess of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she has spent this entire issue just like yelling at something or other.
Yes, people to do their jobs or to stop fighting or to let people go. She is the exasperated parent.
Yeah, like, I guess we're allying with Horde Culture now. Let's deal with this. And so, yeah, she summons a bunch of demons and says, go eat the plants and go eat the zombies.
Yes, but not the old ladies.
Yeah.
But also something to mention here, she kind of says it offhandedly, but magic does sense that there was some big ritual that took place here, and she is going to try and find it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, but for now, we come to probably my favorite sequence in this whole three issues, as we get into the inside of the Kotati warship that we know is planned to be detonated. As a warrior falls his way in and is trying to get to the command center.
Sure this is the science minister.
Is it him?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably the mask. I think he's because he has a mask on. I don't recognize him.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is that guy. But yeah, Explody Boy tells him don't leaf as he chases him down into the ship. Which, it's a terrible pun.
Yes, I'm actually not sure if this is Explody Boy, because this zombie mutant is cut in half at the waist. So his legs and his upper half are both doing different things.
Yeah, he falls down, says he has to put on his pants, and then climbs up onto his legs and reattaches himself.
Barely.
Yeah.
So, and this whole time, the Kotati is not saying a word and is just desperately trying to initiate the sequence to blow up the ship as this mutant zombie is just talking about him, you know, how he's going to eat him, and is like, oh, are you trying to get a self-destruct sequence? That's nice.
Oh, this is Explody Boy. There's a line here. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. That's what I'm best at after all going boom, boom, boom. So, yeah, this is him. pretty much says, like, this self-destruct thing is nonsense. He's gonna eat ya.
Yep, you can't kill what's already dead, so you've already messed up. But the Kotati finally speaks as he's having his throat ripped out. You should know that the vessel, once it landed, began to take root.
Just to back up a little bit, I want to shout out this panel up top here, where Explody Boy is grabbing on to the science minister as he's, like, pressing buttons. Because it's, like, he's grabbing him from behind, but his lower half doesn't come with him, so he's just like stretched out by like blood and guts as his like spine disconnects from his pants, which is really crazy looking.
Yes, it is gross and disgusting and scary. I think that's why this sequence is my favorite, because it's funny, but also uniquely horrifying at the same time.
Yeah. But yeah, so this plant's being eaten, as he says, the ship began to root.
Yes, and we get this really nice two-page couple of panels here as we see the ship sort of crack open and then take root all around it as vines very quickly spread into the earth and also against the oncoming horde of zombies.
Yeah.
And we are going to get more into the chaos, as this was a bit hard for me personally to follow. But here the group is going to get split up because the ship is growing a seed pod now, which is represented by a very large green bulbous wall. And some of the folks are going to get trapped inside. Some are going to get trapped outside.
Yeah, it's two of the members of Horde Culture, I think, get trapped inside, as well as Monet and Multiple Man.
Yes, so the two ladies that get trapped inside are Edith and Lily. Opal and one of the other ones, who I can't recall right now, are trapped on the outside.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's like they're saying they're cut off from them, and then we get a scene of Sage talking to Black Tom back on Krakoa. This is the part that this page, I think, is very obviously Percy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would agree with that. I think whenever Black Tom has to show up, they just hand it to Percy, since he would know the character better at this point. But basically,
also probably just that entire sequence of Explody Boy and the ship, I would assume, was Percy as well.
But, oh, probably. Yeah. if there's something I think Percy is very good at, it's very gruesome humor when he really wants to do it. But in Black Tom speak, he basically says that the connection to Genosha is being broken and he can't see what's going on there. So instead, he's going to take the pollen, dirt, and fungus and all of the other bits of Krakoa that is trapped on Angel and form a mini Black Tom on his shoulder.
Yeah, little Tom. Tom Thumb, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cute little gremlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put him. But also, yo, Angel, take a bath, please.
Black Tom calls him a himbo, which I think is very funny.
Very funny and very accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, Angel flies down and talks to Magic about how he has an avatar of Black Tom on him. Magic questions how. They don't really get into that too much.
No, there's a lot going on. We can't stop and ask how or why.
Yeah, Magic says don't get near the old ladies with the gas. And Angel seems confused because he does not see them as old.
Mm-hmm. but yeah, no, talking about this more, I am relating a lot to Magic more, and I think she's going to be my standout here. Because Black Tom asks her, hey, what's the situation? And she basically goes, yeah, the official report is that everything's fucked. Everything is really bad right now.
Magic really feels like the self-insert character here.
Yes.
She is just desperately trying to, like, lead a team through just an absolute nonsense situation.
Mm-hmm.
So this battle sequence has lasted so long.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's kind of wondering what's next.
Yeah. But yeah, so they still can't get through the seed pod, but they Horde Culture talks about maybe having a way through if they had access to the lab. But they throw out a idea for how they would synthesize that. Magic tells Black Tom, you get all that? Black Tom says, yeah. And has Krakoa start doing this. And the seed pod gets mad.
Yes, a bunch of, you know, small Krakoan elemental rock monsters show up. But yeah, no, the seed pod just gets mad instead. And so does Magic, as she becomes more demon goat-like. And she's got red horns, she's got, like, goat legs going on.
I think it's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's a real cool look. She's just glowing.
A bunch of multiple men, I guess would be the correct way to put that, flow out of the seed pod and tell them to stop because it almost killed Monet with what they were doing. Because, as is not brought up all that much, but when Krakoa needs to do something, it feeds on psychic energy to do it. So to have all of those elemental rock monsters show up, it needed the best psychic source that they could get, and that was Monet.
Yeah. The Horde culture ladies on the outside think this is very funny and start laughing. Magic is done with this and sends them into a portal.
Yes.
Angel flies after him and grabs them, tries to take him up. Magic closes the door behind him and is just like, no, we're done with this. Like, release the gate. I'm not playing games anymore. And also get some real sick looking armor.
Yes. No idea where that armor comes from. It's really cool. It's like liquid metal armor with like some flary shoulder pads and everything. It's cool. Although I do like the demon look just a bit more.
Yeah. It's so, okay. We'll get that soon.
Yes, thankfully. But the ladies agree to let down the hold they have on the Genosha Krakoan gate. While Magic asks to be patched in through Black Tom to Krakoa, as they have a plant-based speaker system, I suppose is the best way to put it. And she tells everybody on the island that there's some bad stuff going down on Genosha, and she wants every available psychic mutant to please get to it immediately, because they really, really need some help here.
Yeah. So just says, every psychic, let's go through the gate, and they sure send some interesting people here.
I mean, realistically, they could have just sent Kid Omega and probably would have been fine. But, you know, we also get the Shadow King and Selene and Mr. Sinister and Emma's girls. So we're doing pretty good here.
Yeah, we get Exodus Mastermind is here, who is more of an illusionist. I think Lady Mastermind is also here. So an interesting little tidbit. Apparently, Shadow King is not supposed to be here.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact reasoning why, but there's a plot reason he would not have been on Krakoa at this time. I think the artist came out and said, like, yeah, we shouldn't have drawn him. That was an error on our part. He doesn't show up in any more of these issues. Like, this is his one appearance. At least in this Empire plot, I'm not saying he's gone for the rest of Krakoa.
Right. No, I know when he appears. But I didn't know that this was actually an error on their part. That's interesting.
Yeah. Sergio, if you weren't sure who we're talking about, it's this spider leg man here in the back left.
Oh, interesting.
With the mouth. Yeah, he's a...
You know, maybe they are another psychic, and they're psychically projecting...
Shadow. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's possible. Just someone pretending to be a Shadow King. But yeah, so that's issue two. I'm sure it can't get any more chaotic than this.
You know, perhaps we will just have to see. So with issue number three, released also in August of 2020. We have Vita Ayala, who is new, who I will go into in just a bit, Zeb Wells, and Ed Bryson. So we know Zeb Wells from Hellions and Ed Bryson from New Mutants. But for Vita, they're new, actually, and they will be starting their book shortly after this one. It's going to be a while for us on the podcast. But I just took this from their website so we can introduce who they are. Vita Ayala is a trans, non-binary, Afro-Puerto Rican writer born in New York. They are working on the upcoming X-Corp book that will be out soon, and have also worked on Morbius and Ironheart for Marvel, but have mostly done third-party work, including some comics for James Bond.
Interesting.
Yeah, so just to go ahead and just say what they end up writing, they will end up taking over the New Mutants book from Ed Bryson in about 2 issues, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, they are going to be taking that over. Also, I think one of my favorite writers for the New Mutants stuff. But they do officially get their start on this and X-Corp. It's like right before New Mutants. It's a little awkward. But for all of the press releases and everything leading up when it came to the Empire book here, they always mentioned X-Corp.
Let's get into the issue. The seed pod has gotten large.
Yep. It's engorged for sure.
Yes, it's gross and awful, and I hate it.
Yeah, it looks like just the worst. I want it to go away.
It looks like if you poked it, it would like explode in goo, and it's awful.
Yep. Imagine a zit, like a very large, gross zit, with like 18 zits on that zit.
Yes. It's disgusting. It makes the zombies that are eating all of the plant people look nice.
Yeah. So, also, speaking of the plant people, they have started to reanimate.
Yes, as zombies. Who now also want brains. And they have decided that the best place to get brains is the giant gross seed pod.
Yeah. Some of them know how to get in it, so they're going that way. They're going inside.
Yep. And also, we have our first instance of them remembering that they are zombie mutants, because a few of these zombies are actually flying in these scenes.
Yeah. A couple of them, yeah. I guess we do get some powers. It's not really a big show of it, but...
There's a few.
It's there. Got a lot of mutants with the power of flight on this island, I guess.
Yep. But all of these psychic mutants who have just arrived, minus the Shadow King... are here and are not too happy that they need to deal with plants and old ladies, because that feels beneath them. But that's okay, because magic can whip them into shape and get them working on fixing this mess.
Also, I'm kind of looking at this lineup here, and there's more people than we had originally. I think we got Moonstar and, what is her name? The New Mutants one. Moonstone?
No, I thought it was Moonstar.
Hold on.
Because I see Danny.
Moonstar. We got Karma here. We got Karma. One of the... it looks like one of the disaster children.
Yes. Yes.
They should not have brought her to this island.
No. That would make everything worse. Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yes, yeah, some of the New Mutants are here when they weren't in the last scene, and I don't think we ever see them again.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, what a chaotic couple of issues.
Magic is still yelling at people. Just says, Krakoa good, kill the plant people, please.
Mm-hmm. And all of the psychic folks go, thumbs up, we got it. Kid Omega has psychic rifles. Everybody else puts themselves in Krakoa wood-like armor and just starts beating the hell out of everybody.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Beast is here with glasses.
Yes, try and make you think he's not an evil CIA man. Yeah. They put some nice glasses on him.
Do you think it's like the opposite of like the rom-com thing where the nerdy girl takes off her glasses and is hot? It's the CIA man putting on glasses to make him look less evil.
Yes, 100%, because he looks more like a sweet grandpa.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it's good, because Magic is here with Opal, and is tasking the two of them to create something to get into the seed pod. Basically what Tim said earlier, the idea that they had of using different plant DNA to make a acidic liquid to get inside.
Sergio, were you saying something? I feel like we cut you off there.
Oh, no. The only comment I have here is Magic's wardrobe keeps changing, and it's probably the most inconsistent thing about these issues, because she's back to her usual look.
Yeah, the armor's gone. Yeah, she's gone from demon to armor to, like, usual.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. She kind of went into commander mode with the cool shiny armor and then kind of just depowered that.
Yeah. I'm guessing she could turn it off, but it feels weird to do so.
Yeah, there, you know, with the other few inconsistencies that we've mentioned, I'm wondering if the timeline for these issues was pretty tight, so they didn't have enough time to check each one against each other.
Yeah. It's possible, especially when you have like all these like different creative teams going on.
Yeah.
Opal and Beast are going to work on synthesizing some stuff, and meanwhile, back at the battle, Monet is out.
Yep, looking like a tragic, you know, Renaissance painting lady. She is passed out, but in a very elegant way.
Yeah. Explodey Boy's here.
He didn't find any sewing equipment, but he did find some plants to keep his upper and lower halves together.
Yeah. Also, there's some Kotati who are very mad at him for what he did to Science Minister Koi. Also, Explodey Boy does not seem to care if these are humans or mutants. But he says he'll make him a deal. He'll get the Kotati off their case if you just let them eat whatever's on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything but the plant people, because they make really bad eating.
Yeah. There's a very funny line where he says, I got no beef with mutants, used to be one myself, still am. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we got a deal, and Multiple Man's just like, sure, man. And he's like, and then blows up.
Yes, it really lives up to his name. I gotta say, I'm a big fan of Zombie Explodey Boy.
Yeah. I wonder how this power works when he's not a zombie. This is, by the way, not a character that we have been introduced to previously. This is like an original character for this.
Yeah, you know, considering he still isn't burned or blown to bits, I would assume he would be okay if he was still alive and used his powers. But I'm going to put that at a 50-50 of he could just be killing himself if he did that.
Yeah.
Oh, do you think it's only now that he's a zombie that he gets to use his power freely? I think that would be cool.
Yeah, yes. That's kind of what I was wondering. Because like I know like the first time we saw him use his power, his arm fell off. So I'm wondering if that's like... I have a build currently that I'm messing with in Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is a very interesting build, which lets my Aerith self-destruct over and over again without actually dying. Not over and over again, but like once per battle, she won't die. And like, I wonder if that's kind of the same
thing. That sounds incredible. Hey, you just have to wait a little bit longer and see if you can use some Phoenix down on her at some point. And maybe you will get the zombie explodey girl as part of the game.
That's true. We're back to science stuff. There's some music going down. Beast is in science mode at this point. This is not the Beast we've been getting in X-Force.
Yeah. No. We're cutting to the cop procedural science montage.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. This is like the scene of Ducky in NCIS, of him just like doing some science stuff. Yeah. B says Eureka, and we got a formula or something.
Yeah, they figured it out, and what do you do with a bunch of goo? You put it in super soakers.
Yeah. Also Nightcrawler's here. Nightcrawler's gonna go do the super soaker goo.
Yes. Uh-huh. You know, just pull in everybody you want to. Yeah. Why not? Unfortunately, Black Tom was going to have magic get all of the super soakers full of acid, but she is not responding, and Mini Black Tom is now gone. So instead, they get their next closest teleportation friend, and they have Nightcrawler jump in to save the day.
Yeah. Back on the island, we kind of see why she's not responding. It looks like one of the cuckoos is about to get killed by a bunch of zombies until magic saves the day. We got that going for us, and they're going to try to figure out where the heck all these zombies are coming from.
Yep, and I kind of wonder who wrote this like sequence of it, because it does get a very dark turn with the one cuckoo who's about to get eaten saying, hey, when they resurrect me, make sure they don't bring back the memory of what it feels like to be eaten alive, which that's about the scare, like the not the scariest moment so far, but kind of the more serious moment of this entire event so far. And, you know, it happens to be with a zombie trying to eat a mutant girl in a suit of wooden armor.
Yeah, meanwhile, Nightcrawler has shown up, she pops into the island, immediately exclaims something in German as he is shocked by the scene of plant people, zombies, demons, and old ladies fighting everybody else.
Yeah, and I have to shout out this one demon at the top of this page who just looks like Diablo from Diablo 2.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of insanity going on. You know, we're talking about it in, you know, in not a visual format here. But if you go and look up different sections of this event, there's just a bunch of stuff going on in every single panel.
Yeah. If the goal was a chaotic battle, they surely achieve that. But yeah, Nightcrawler's here to spray some plants and gets to work doing that.
He's got a sword
that he, yeah,
he uses to hit one of the plant people, because he's not like using it to cut or slice. He's just like hitting them on the head with the sword's like side.
It feels like how you would have to use a sword if you were a character that had a sword in a 90s cartoon.
Yeah.
It's like how anytime you watch an X-Men cartoon, they have no idea what to do with Wolverine's claws.
Yes, that's true, because they can't make him cut people. Robots, sure, but not people. But Nightcrawler does super soaker a hole into the seed pod, and a bunch of the zombies are now starting to head in there because there's apparently fresh meat inside.
Yeah. Magic and one of the cuckoos, do we have a name for her?
No, actually. I don't think they name her, or they have not quite yet.
Yeah, well, one of the five are teleporting around trying to figure out the source of what's going on.
Yes, like I said earlier, Magic does sense that there was something magical going on here, but she hasn't found the source, so that's what they're looking for. And after about the ninth teleportation, they do find it. The staff that Wanda used at the very beginning being held up by a pile of corpses.
Yeah, Magic grabs it and, turns evil.
Yes, extremely evil. Because as they are approaching the staff, Magic is asking if anybody else could hear it. And apparently the power within it is so strong that it tempts her to the dark side.
Yeah, so her dialogue box starts changing when she grabs hold of it, and she turns into a demon mode, and it turns black. I don't remember if this is a part of her character or not. I know this has happened to her before, but I didn't know it could happen again.
Yeah. I love demon mode Magic.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's very, very cool sign. Look. I like the wings a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, to describe people that haven't seen her, she's now red. She's got this like black armor going on that is covering part like the sides of her, so like the sides of her legs, chest, and then her arms. She's got these really cool dragon wings and then red horns on her head, and her eyes are also now glowing blue.
Yeah,
there are tentacles coming out of the ground, and I don't know what that is about. That's cool.
Yeah, it's like Cthulhu looking tentacles coming out. It's wild.
Evil eldritch magic kind of deal.
Yeah. So meanwhile, multiple man and I'm not sure who this is with him. One of the old ladies, Edith. I don't know. No, I don't think so. That sounds wrong.
No, Lily? Edith is the one on the chair, I think.
Yes, it's one of the ones that doesn't get a lot of screen time.
Is this Lily? The other one's Opal. Yeah, I don't know either. I think the one with Beast is Augustus, but yeah. Anyway, this one is like, yeah,
oh, this
good.
Is Lily. This is Lily. I'm looking at
the page.
Data page at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody is Multiple Man looks up to see Explodey Boy just eating his duplicates, which, I mean, I don't know what he expected. Those were the bodies that were on the ground when he made the deal. Like,
yeah. I mean, I do feel bad for Multiple Man because he is having a hard time seeing himself be eaten. But it is keeping off the horde for now because Explodey Boy is just passing around severed limbs to everybody.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of this one zombie with headphones.
Same.
Yeah.
It's good vibes.
Yeah. Multiple Man's like tells his duplicates to just start throwing pieces of him into the crowd as the other zombies show up, and they all run. Also, it seems like the pheromones that they sprayed Angel and Multiple Man with are now wearing off because Angel starts not seeing them as young women anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I do have to, you know, give props to Angel's priorities here, because as that is wearing off and as Demon Magic is walking through with the zombies, he just turns to Horticulture and is like, oh my god, you guys are old. Like, shouldn't be outside old.
Yeah, Magic, meanwhile, is just out here just
living her best evil life.
She sounds like a, final boss in a JRPG.
Yes, just absolutely.
The World Tree Root, which bridges the realms of life and death. The tri-crown of the Chaos God Hand, which prevents the laws of nature. Like, it's wild dialogue.
Yeah, so we get names of all the pieces that Wanda got earlier. And essentially what this means is that this staff has complete power over life and death. And because it has now tempted magic, she is now crowning herself as the zombie queen of New Genosha.
Yeah, meanwhile, Angel is puking in the background.
Yes.
And same with Multiple Man. I don't think it's because they're old women. It seems like it's just a side effect of coming down off the pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
I
do have to shout out that Multiple Man also was remarking on how old they are, not on screen, but because the nice old lady in the wheelchair just casually tells him, if you call me old one more time, I will just shoot you between the eyes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we see inside the seed pod. The seed pod apparently has a large brain. The zombies are eating it.
Yes, and it's Kotati zombies. It is mutant zombies. Everybody's having a good time. Even our, you know, our good friend, the science specialist, Koi, from the start, his head is here and is going to explain what is about to happen.
He refers to this thing as a Kotati knot, which is just a... That's really cool. That's a cool word.
It's so much fun. You know, we've gotten so far off the beaten path and I'm like, you know what? Call it whatever you want. I think at one point they also call it the Brood Leaf Lord. It's nuts. This is a wonderful comics thing. I think this would only work in a comic book.
Yeah. Anyway, it seems like the seed pod is now infected. Like, it is now a zombie.
Yes. So the ship, which instead of blowing the ship up, it took root and grew itself a brain and has now awoken. And because the brain has now been infected by the zombies, that means the ship is now also a zombie. And we see it gather itself and rise up as this giant mother brain crate hybrid creature that is also a zombie.
This is literally Mother Brain.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you thought we were missing anything, it was kaijus, and that is now what we have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, what a set of issues.
You gotta explain to me that sigh. What do you mean by that sigh, Sergio?
You know, not much different from what I said earlier. I just don't think this is particularly compelling. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fighting. But it ultimately feels like a waste. I really was expecting something else from X-Men's take on Empire. Especially given what we saw of the lead up to Empire on our last episode.
Mm-hmm. With Vulcan on the moon?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that
you
is...
You would think there would be a mention of other things going on in the world at this time.
Yeah, you would assume so, and usually that is what tie-in issues do when it comes to bigger events like this. But I do have to say, I kind of appreciate X-Men just grabbing its own little side corner and then doing whatever it wanted to do, instead of trying to force Empire into whatever they had and maybe it not working. But that's also me coming from a place where I have read other tie-ins for other events and seen how it doesn't work. So if you don't have that same background or experience with that, coming into this and going, well, why are they doing this? It makes a lot of sense, and I don't disagree with you either. I mean, this doesn't add a lot to the overall. Sure, we do have something with Wanda, and I'm expecting her to show back up in the last one once we deal with everything, but I could be wrong, and she might not.
I feel like that aspect of getting intersecting stories is kind of like the fun of an event like this, or would be the fun of an event like this. Even if it doesn't work out as well as something self-contained, which I don't think this is handling particularly well either. Ultimately, what I feel is this is going to go nowhere. I don't see this actually making any interesting moves in the overall narrative for the X-Men. And what this ends up feeling like is like a standalone TV special that's just going to return to the status quo at the end. This again feels like, to me, the Jetsons meeting the Flintstones, and then at the very end, nothing happens because they just have to go on.
Yeah, we got to go back to the status quo. Whatever next episode
goes by, yeah. So I'm really not feeling the event here. This just feels like an afterthought.
Yeah, that's fair. I could definitely see why you would get that impression from these first three issues. It has been a very long time since I've read the conclusion of this event. I kind of want to see what that's like before I just give like a full opinion of it here.
We don't even have like any thematic resonance with the
actual Empire,
you know, what being a good leader was and stuff like it. It really doesn't feel like this is anything that would like bones of even like ideas from the main thing.
Yeah, it's very much just in its own corner doing its own thing. And like,
yeah.
I don't know if it always lands, especially because like, again, like I'm not really opposed to the idea of just having a fun little event. It's just, it's interesting in the way it's framed because it really does lead you to believe with Wanda that it's going to be more important than it ends up being.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. And even, you know, thinking about the other comics for the Empire tie-ins that simply were never released, you know, they had to sit down and look at all of them and say, okay, which ones are important enough to go ahead with? And this was one of them. You know, we didn't see what happened to Thor during Empire, but we do get to see the zombies versus old ladies.
So I'll say, I wonder if it's less to do with, like, we gotta keep what's plot important, and more, we gotta keep what's selling, and you know what's hot right now is X-Men.
Yeah, no, you're probably right there. It's less that, and definitely more sales-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, who knows if it's, like, what's farther along the production pipeline.
Yeah, like that could be too. Like, we can't, like, you know, it was the pandemic. Things were probably different, and you probably had teams put together for these minis that maybe couldn't quite get it done with the way the, you know, like the kind of like way you were looking at work changed. You know, stuff obviously was still getting made during this time, but it was definitely, it seems like it would throw a wrench into anyone's established, like, routine.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, you could just have, like, commitments that were no longer able to be made during this time. Yeah, there could be a lot of reasons, like, why stuff was canceled during this era. But, yeah, Yeah, that's our issues for this week, I believe. Does anyone have any closing thoughts before we move on?
No, I think both of you covered it a lot, and I've said my piece about it. I think this is fun, but I agree with Sergio that it's, you know, it's empty. They're empty calories. They're here for fun, but I also expect that once this is over, there might be a little bit of change with Wanda, but there's really nothing else that's going to be left from here that is going to carry over into the other comics.
Yeah. So, the next episode we have is going to finish off Empire X-Men with Empire X-Men number 4. We also get our last Empire tie-in, just in general, with the mutants with X-Men number 11. Before heading back to Wolverine number 4, we haven't been with Wolverine for a while.
Let's go.
Yeah, we get to see maybe what the Vampire Nation is doing.
We got to see. Yeah. I need my boy Jeff Bannister here. Like, what's
going
on?
He has been gone for a while. We haven't had our buddy cops in a while.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, vampires are a whole lot more compelling than zombies.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. You know what? I would agree with that. I'd agree with that. So.
I think I do as well.
But I gotta say, X-Men number 11, that has the moment I'm thinking of that I'm really excited about. So definitely look forward to the next one.
Well, to keep your hype appropriately in check, it's the moment that I'm really not excited for.
You know, you got okay. Two extremes.
Yeah. We'll just aim for a neutral perspective here.
I'm gonna be on the edge of my seat waiting for next issue.
Yeah. That's our episode this week.
Yeah, I can wrap it up. If you enjoyed our episode today, thank you so much for listening with us. If you could give us a review on your favorite podcasting app of choice, that would be great. It helps us get out there and find more people who can listen to us and perhaps even read along.
Apple Podcasts, please. That helps quite a bit. It helps us get recommended other places. That's a big one. Help us out if you want to.
Yes.
Pretty sure you can rate them on Spotify as well.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
You can rate them anyway. I think like Apple Podcasts is the big one though.
Yeah.
But yes. Yeah. 5 stars also. That's, of course. That's the sweet spot.
You know, anything less than that, you can write it in instead to studyofx@gmail.com and you can tell us why it's below 5 stars. We may or may not read it. Can't promise you anything. But I can promise that we will read any questions, comments, your thoughts on zombies or vampires. And we will make Tim read every single one.
If you're thinking about rating us under 5 stars, maybe just round up a little bit. No? Mm-hmm. Just put it at an even 5. Everyone's favorite even number.
Mm-hmm. But if you are also looking for this podcast on social media, you can find it on X, also called Twitter, on Tumblr, and on Blue Sky at Study of X. And if you are looking for me specifically, you can find me on Blue Sky at Sonics, that is SawneeKS. I believe Blue Sky is now open to the public, so you can just join in there without needing a code anymore. So if you want to follow us there or follow me there or any one of us, that would be good. But Sergio, I know you said you were taking a break from social media. Are you still off on vacation?
Oh, yeah. This has turned into an extended break, which I am not intending to finish anytime soon.
It's for the best.
Yes, I do think it is better. It's probably good for your health. I should join you. I haven't quite gotten there yet. And Tim, if they were looking to tell you about seed pods and different kinds of plant genetics so you can make goo to put in a super soaker, where can they find you?
Usually at my house. I don't feel like doing a bit this week.
No bits this week. You know, that's okay. Sometimes you have to have an off week, save the bits, have them, you know, build up a little bit. Then you can just, bam, hit people with the funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not a very active on social media podcast here.
We're really not anymore. We used to be. But yeah, no, not so much.
Look, we're living our best lives, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. We're thriving. We are playing Final Fantasy, talking about X-Men comics. It's a wonderful time over here. So, yeah. that'll be us for this week. In 2 weeks, we will see you all again. So, later, mutants.
Bye. Bye.